it was just about this time of year, my seventh grade year. Junior high football practice on a Wednesday night. I got home, the practice had run a little bit late, and when I got home, I had just enough of time to go ahead and scarf down some of Mom's spaghetti and run over to church. And I was excited to go to youth group. I was heading on. I was getting ready, and I ran out the door, but I heard my mom yell. And she said, "Corey, you have got to change. You cannot go to church like that. You have to change for church." My mom was this, like, the Proverbs 31 lady. She loved God, and she loved us and wanted to direct us to God. But in this instance, it was one of the few times that I get to tell my mom she was wrong. Maybe I should have changed my clothes. But there may be some of you that are sitting in church today. Maybe it's the first time in a while. Maybe it's your first time forever. And you have this idea that you need to change for church. And I want to encourage you that we don't expect you to change for church. Church is full of people that don't have it figured out. Whether it's your first time or you come every week, we don't expect you to have it all down. We don't expect you to change for church, but we have an expectation that the message that you hear about Jesus Christ, about a God that loves you, that message has the power to change us. And so we're going to embark on this journey together, asking this question of what is your change? And guys in the back, I'm going to have you on point today because my clicker up here isn't working, so you guys got this. So autumn is always marked by change. There's a change that comes in kids returning to school, change in temperature. You could feel the change in the air, changing of the leaves to their beautiful colors, changing of waves of green to waves of gold out in the cornfields. Much the same, the life of a Christian is marked by change. You will not be the same if you're following Christ. Jesus taught a radically different walk of life than this world is used to. He taught surrender. He taught service, humility, kindness, compassion, forgiveness, love, and he always taught truth. Jesus' beginning line to Simon and to his brother Andrew were, "Follow me. Follow me, and from now on, things are going to change." He says there's going to be a transition. "From now on, I will make you into fishers of men." You're going to change from fishing for the fish in the sea to fishing for men. And Jesus promises them that they will be changed. And like the leaves beginning to fall or the air beginning to chill, we start to see the gradual change that happens all around. And in the book of Romans, Paul keeps on bringing up this idea in our lives. Much like the disciples, that how they would be different because of their walk, we would be different because of our walk with Christ. And he gives us this charge that we ended last week and last series on, and it's what we springboard off of in this new series that will take us through most of the fall. In Romans chapter 12, Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." One more time going through this. Therefore. He says therefore because he has reminded us of what God has done. Because God has remained faithful to an unfaithful people. Because God has saved those he promised to save time and time again. Because he's woven those who once had no place in his presence into his family. Because he's far beyond our understanding. Because of the doxology that precedes this, saying, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and for him all things, to him be the glory forever." It's because of all these things, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. Because of that, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, because of the gift that he has given us, because of the life that Jesus lived, therefore, in view of his mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And that's good news already. He says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, because God has already taken care of every other sacrifice. It's what Jesus was for. It's why no longer God says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer up your cows and your goats and your doves as sacrifices to God. No, he says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. God asked for our sacrifice to be our lives lived out. Doing it holy and pleasing to God. He says, this is your true and proper worship. Worship is even transformed. It's transformed from something that you do on a Sunday morning to something that you live out every single day. Something that's a part of your life. Something that's woven into who you are. This is your true act of worship. To give your bodies as living sacrifices. To give up yourself. And he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be changed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His perfect and his pleasing and perfect will. You want to know God's will? You want to know what he wants in your life? Be transformed by him. There are two words that really stick out in this set of verses, and two words that absolutely mirror each other in their meaning and lead us to either staying in this life and in the rut, in the mundane, in the easy path, the grind that so many people are on, or it leads us to life. It leads us to be transformed. A life that goes against the grain. A life that leads not to things that pass away, but to the things that endure. The first word that really sticks out in this verse is to conform. It's a path that just says, be like the rest. The world shows us plenty about how they want us to live. You see the natural tendencies of people when you turn on the news. Search Channel 9, Channel 2, CNN, Fox News. You're going to see what conforming looks like today. You're going to see the stories of division. You're going to see the stories of hate. You're going to see the stories of scandal. You're going to see all the things that conforming to this world leads you to. Sometimes it's painted in a way that looks like a pretty picture. Sometimes it's in a way that looks like today could be better and you don't have to worry about the consequences. But we see that conforming leads us on a path down and down and down. Conforming looks like you're supposed to simply fit in. Conforming says, whatever they want, that's what I'll do. Whatever it takes, whatever the price, I'm going to jump right in. Conforming looks like hiding in the shadows. Looks like staying in deep, staying where no one else can know. Conforming is going with the status quo. It's simply being there to be there. And when we fall into this path of conformity, when we fall into this path of being with the world, life seems to drag. Life seems to stay in that rut. And that's why we're encouraged, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, there says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Christ Jesus is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. It's this idea that says you have been transformed. You have been in the presence of God. You have taken on Jesus Christ. You have accepted his gift. Therefore, don't live any longer in the mess that you were in, but instead be transformed. Be changed into who God wants you to be. Be holy. Because I am holy. It's the best disease, the best cold you could ever get. Because God's contagious goodness rubs off on us. It should be seen when we live, the way that we live out. It should be seen in the testimony, in the witness that we have with our lives, in that living sacrifice that it should be evident to all that we serve a holy God. So it calls us to be different. It calls us to transform. We're encouraged by both Paul and Peter to participate in this idea of transformation. And they use this word, metamorpho. Metamorpho. And just kind of hearing it, You can tell what it means. I don't know if you guys remember science class back in the day. I don't know if you remember learning about what a caterpillar does, but it's the same word that we see metamorphosis. This idea of what happens to a caterpillar when it goes into a cocoon and comes out a completely new animal. Comes out absolutely changed, unrecognizable as the caterpillar that it was before. It's now a beautiful butterfly. It's the same word that's used when we see Jesus take his disciples up to the mountaintop. There they see their friend completely changed as Jesus is transformed into this glorious figure. They see amazing things in this metamorpho. As Jesus had both fully accepted his status and submitted to the sacrifice that was about to happen, Jesus, you see, was set apart in this time. It's the only other time that we see this word coming about. The same transition that God expects from us is the same one that we see in Jesus Christ. And Peter, in this time, had just made this confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Followed by that, Jesus had told his disciples what his purpose was for coming to this earth. That he was to give his life, but then to be raised again, defeating sin. He had just told his disciples what following him would end up looking like. that it would look like taking up their crosses and following him. See, Jesus was set apart on a mission, and a transformation happened. For each and every Christian, you have a mission. You have a mission that you've been set apart for. And your transformation, it may not look like a caterpillar going into a cocoon. You may not grow wings. You may not become more beautiful. You may not become having another set of eyes or antennas that are sprouting out of your heads. But you will be transformed. You will be changed by what God is doing in you. Maybe you don't feel strong enough. Maybe you don't feel smart enough. Maybe you don't feel worthy enough. I want to tell you, if you don't feel like you are enough, are you prepared for a transformation to happen? Look for the transformation that God has for you. When you live for your life for God, when you accept the gift of grace that Christ has sacrificed for you, transformation will take place. And the change that Jesus makes is as drastic of a change as life and death. See, in Galatians 2:20, I confess I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but it's Christ that lives in me. The life I live now in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a transformation that says, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to change where it's not me being seen. It's not my life, but it's a life that I'm giving as a living sacrifice to God. It's a life we live that is now completely and totally changed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. We are new because of the transformation that Jesus brings. We are challenged time and time again to change. We are called to this idea of change. You know, sometimes change can look like a scary thing. Change can seem uncomfortable. For a caterpillar going into the cocoon, it must feel like life is ending. It must feel like they don't know what's on the other side. But then they spread their wings. Then they fly. Then they get to places where they never knew before that they could ever reach. They're willing to go in for a change. Are you willing to change? Are you willing to take on things that before you never thought possible? Are you willing to love where you never thought it was possible to love? Are you willing to forgive where you never thought that you were able to forgive? Are you willing to show grace where once you thought grace could never fit in? We're called to change. And for a time now, for the next 7 weeks, We're going to be focusing on many different times when lives were changed by people simply submitting to God. And the challenge that I want to give you today is be amazed by what God has done. As we go through each of these stories, as we see each of these lives impacted, be amazed by what God's done in changing lives. Celebrate what God has done. And relate to what God has done in the lives of people that we get to see in the pages of Scripture. For some, the stories that we see in the Bible, they can look a whole lot like the lives that we live. Maybe the locations are different, maybe the names are different, but some of the times when God pushes people to do something more can be seen a lot in the lives that God challenges us to live. But the last thing that I challenge you with is don't let what God has done distract you from the work that He's doing and will continue to do to work change. God's not done yet. For a lot of us sitting here, we've been at this for a little while. We've read some of the stories. We've seen some of the challenges. God's not done working. God's not done changing us. And so, if you've never made the decision to submit to God and allow Him to change your life, we'd love for you to talk to us. And you can talk to me, you can talk to one of our elders. If you made the decision long ago, continue to grow in the ways that God's still tugging at you. I pray that during this time, there will be change because of what God is doing in the lives of the people here at Martell Christian Church. I pray that we'll continue to see change that's going on. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank You for the ways that You work. We thank You for the changes that You make. God, in the times where the changes look scary, in the time where we don't know what the future holds, God, we choose to be crucified with Christ. Lord, let it no longer be us that live, but let it be Christ in us. God, transform us. Make us new. God, let our lives be a reflection of the love that You have for us and for this world. God, we pray today that like You change the color of the leaves, that You'll change our hearts. God, let it be You seen in every change. Let it You be glorified with every word that we say. And God, we pray that we will just be able to praise You as a people that are changed by Your love. So God, as we ask this question of what is the change that You are making in us, God, soften our hearts, help us to be prepared for where You lead. We love You. We thank You, and it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.